What does living your Clifton Strengths look like for you? Well, that's what we want to explore on The Spark, and we're getting a handful of different perspectives to bring the strengths conversation to life. So, welcome listeners, I'm Sylvia, the host of The Spark, and I wanted to share an extra special interview I was able to do with Larry Helms, our Chief Information Officer. This one was lighthearted, it was welcoming, and overall it was just a really fun conversation. So I'm excited that you get to hear a little bit more about strengths and a little bit more about Larry. So let's explore this episode together. Welcome to The Spark, everyone. And we're super excited to have Larry Helms, our Chief Information Officer here at Valleywide, join us today. So tell us a little bit more about you. Maybe something someone might not know about you.
Well, Sylvia, it's a pleasure to be here with you. I'm excited to meet with you and talk strengths and all that kind of good stuff. This kind of plays into my strengths, or at least the weirdness about it. Most people think, you know, I grew up in technology, and I didn't. I actually graduated in construction management from BYU back in the 90s, back in the last century. And I'd gotten into computers during my construction days and continued to do so, and then took a different turn, and I changed industries and went into computers and went into computer management, and that led me here. So 23 years and a half ago, I saw an ad for a network administrator here at Valleywide, applied for it. My wife didn't think I would get the job, but I showed her, and I've been here ever since.
That's awesome. I wanted to interview you. Because you have a mix of maybe some less common strengths, things that I don't see as often. So would you just mind sharing your top five? And then are there any that took you by surprise?
Yes and no. They didn't really take me by surprise. I was just surprised that they knew me so well. So my top five is harmony, responsibility, restorative, woo, and communication. And some of those are like, well, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I can see that. And others you're like, huh, I wonder what that really means. And then once you start to understand what it means, you're like, well, I guess I have that. Why not?
So I'm looking, you have harmony and you have woo.
Yeah.
So harmony is a blue relationship building and woo is an influencing. And they're similar in this sense that they put people first, but they have some differences. So how do you balance both of those?
Well, they're honestly two different mindsets. You know, the harmony is about wanting to have harmony. Can't we just all play together and get along? I want the group to succeed. I want people to succeed. We have conflict every day, but it doesn't necessarily have to lead to contention. So I like harmony. I like things to be, you know, to feel good. Now, woo, on the other hand, is about, in my mind, is, you know, again, winning people over and selling something. And my mom told me I was a born salesperson. I could sell anything. But that's the thing that probably scares me the most. I hated sales. I tried to do sales back in college to survive, and I hated it. And yet, I could turn around and sell whatever product that was because I believed in it. And so I have used woo here at Valleywide to sell people on a process or on why we're doing something or a strategy or whatever. And it's about getting them excited, getting them to be, you know, in harmony with the rest of the group, as it were.
Yeah, so it really ties into that number one for you. If you look at your top five, is there one that you feel like you lean on less or you want to lean on less?
You know, it's interesting. I don't think there is, because it's not five different separate pieces of me. I think they all interact and play well together. You know, harmony is about, again, I look at harmony as I want everybody to be good and together, but then responsibility is, okay, now we have a job to do and we're all going to do it together. So let's hunker down and let's figure this out and let's do what we say we're going to do and get it in on time. Restorative is about wanting to figure things out and how to make things work. And that one probably stumped me the most. You're like, restorative, what do you mean by that? Am I trying to restore something? Am I trying to refinish a cabinet? But it's really about figuring things out, I guess, restoring it to a proper order, a proper use.
Yeah. Well, Larry, you're stealing my thunder for the Clifton Strengths. No, you're good. But essentially, when people do get the opportunity to do the team training with us, we talk about how your five really work in play with one another, right? And so harmony to you could mean something totally different than someone else that has harmony in something else.
Correct.
So I think that that's what we always talk about. What's interesting when you start reading your report and thinking about how this plays into your values and your life experiences, how that shows up for you.
Well, it's some of those things you say, well, I may not be very good at it. You know, it may be my top five, and maybe I just don't do well in the other 25. But I, you know, for example, communication, I don't think I was great at communicating. I had the desire to communicate. And honestly, communication is a gift from God because it allows us to exchange ideas and to experience, well, create relationships is really what communication is all about. My wife and I had taken a trip to Switzerland, and I had served a church mission there 40 years ago. And so I learned German, and I still spoke German, and my wife did not, and she didn't even try, really, but that's a different story. So we get there, and at times I would look at her and think, wow, you must just be either tired or bored, or, you know, maybe it's jet lag. And it wasn't until we got home when she told me that because she couldn't communicate, she couldn't express her emotions and she couldn't express her personality. And I thought, well, I had never thought of that. We're able to talk. We speak the same language. And so we're able to communicate at a higher level than just here are my basic needs. And so communication, is a great tool. And my wife has been great in helping me communicate. And oftentimes I'll ask her, all right, if I didn't say this correctly, what should I have said? Give me the words. Help me out here. Help me a bone. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say?
I think you bring up a good point about the communication piece. So in order for something to be in your top five, they generally need to be things that come easy to you, you excel at, and that you enjoy. And immediately you hit it right on when you said about communication, that you wanted that, you yearned for that.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Well, and maybe, and you say, well, where does that come from? Does that stem from not being understood as a child? And I think for me, I probably struggled as a child to communicate well. I look back, I think everybody looks back on their childhood, especially in their middle school or junior high years, and think, wow, what a doofus. For me, communication was important. I like people. I want to be able to get to know people. And as I read through some of the deeper meanings of the Clifton Strengths, you know, for example, communication, they say a stranger is just somebody that you haven't met yet. It kind of drives my family crazy when we go on trips and I start talking. I had a great conversation with a guy flying to Phoenix last year. We talked the whole time, and we could have gone for another. We landed in Phoenix, and I thought, I could have used another hour. And he's like, oh, man, we have to leave now. But I'll do that. My wife, she loves the window seat because she doesn't have to talk to anybody. And so she sticks me in the middle seat, and I tend to jabber on.
And it works.
It works. Yeah, it works for us.
So talking a little bit about, like, bringing up the past, thinking about your top five. So when you think about that, do you think that those would align to younger Larry, like maybe 15, 20 years ago, Larry, or maybe the Larry that just started at Valley Way?
Well, I thought about this not that long ago of if I had, knowing what I know now, if I went back in time, would I choose the same things? Would I choose the same career, mm-hmm. the same major? Some of my strengths, if you can call it that, or gifts or talents, I don't think developed until I had made some of those decisions. I had gotten into some community theater after I'd graduated, you know, started a family. And I thought, wow, this was fun. Maybe I would have gone into something like theater or production work back then. But for me, I was trying to be responsible, which is number two on my list. Get a job. I knew I had to go to college and I had to major in something that I could actually get a job in. And so it was, you know, I was working construction at the time. And I thought, well, that makes sense. I'll get a job. I'll be able to provide for my family, as opposed to get a major that you're like, well, what do I do with that? Can I make a living at that? So it would be interesting for me to go back in time and look at those things and say, how have they influenced me? Am I sad where I'm at? No, I'm not.
Yeah. You
know, let me state that. Destine, I'm not sad at where I'm at. It's just an interesting journey of how you actually get here.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you feel like you would have any advice for that younger self, or maybe even like someone that's coming into the strengths world and they're seeing their strengths for the first time?
The thing that I found very interesting is looking at my strengths. Typically, when you look at them, you look for the top, look for the top five, then you look for the bottom five. That's natural. That's normal. I look at mine, the little color wheel here, and I think, wow, there's hardly any green on there. Now, this test was, I took this in 2019. I retook it in 2022 to see how close. And three of the top five stayed. One dropped to number six. But then a number two came from strategic thinking. And I thought, I wasn't trying to rig, you know, answer the questions that way, but it was interesting that changed there. And so I think we're hardwired to look at our strengths and then say, okay, let me go to my perceived weaknesses, you know, where I'm maybe short. And sometimes you start to think, well, maybe I don't have strategic thinking. Maybe I don't have this. And that's not what Strength Finders is meant to do. It's meant for you to focus on your strengths. You can get further with your strengths than you can on focusing on your weaknesses. But here's the one thing that I hadn't necessarily thought of. My wife brought this to my attention. She's great at that. She's great at pointing out what my weaknesses are too. But she did ask me one time, she goes, have you ever thought how your strengths become your weaknesses? And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, take communication. We were looking at the Strength Finder at the time. And she said, take communication. How is it a strength to you? I said, well, it allows me to convey ideas and communicate with people and build relationships. She goes, how is it your weakness? I tend to overshare. I tend to maybe talk too much. She goes, okay, what about harmony? How is that your strength? Well, I have a desire for harmony. I don't like conflict. I want to make things to where people feel good about where they're working. They're achieving things. And she says, where is it your weakness or your blind spot? And I said, I don't like conflict. So probably I tend to shy away from those important discussions I should be having, you know, telling somebody that maybe their performance isn't going that great. You know, I don't like the conflict. So it's interesting that it's not the low end that are considered your weaknesses or those type of things. It's really your strengths can be your weaknesses as well. And I think anybody coming in, a young person, and anybody younger than, you know, 55, 58, you know, they're younger than I am. I don't want to get too detailed there. But understand you have your strength and they could be your weakness. So be careful. And I think Strength Finders, looking at Strength Finders for managers, they do have that section at the bottom about, and I've gleaned a lot, how this theme could get in the way of your success. Now, they don't say this is your weakness or this is your failing or your blind spot. They just say, but be cognizant that it could get in your way. And you're like, yeah, well, they're absolutely, absolutely right about that.
Gallup is very intentional about defining a weakness as anything that gets in the way of your success. And I think that's what you're kind of leading into and what would be helpful for someone coming in and seeing this assessment, that it's not necessarily just the bottom stuff for the things that you feel like drain you. It yeah. can be the things that you are overworking sometimes. And so it's good to give those strengths a break too and use the other ones that you have available to you or the partnerships that you have with others on your team or in your circle that can support you. So I think that that's where we start to see how knowing your strengths is step one, knowing how to work with them is step two, and knowing how to form those partnerships really becomes step three.
Correct.
I love that. All right. So I do want to delve a little bit more into your strengths. like I said, you have a mix of less common ones. So you have some blues, you have some oranges, and those blue ones generally value person first, and they really value that close connection with somebody. And an orange puts people first, but maybe doesn't have as much emphasis on that relationship building component. So tell me a little bit, how do you balance being a little bit blue and a little bit orange? Because I generally don't see that as much.
Well, then you have the third one of the purple, the yep. executing, and it almost works separately or opposite of relationship building. So you're executing our, you know, your responsibility, restorative, consistency, belief, discipline. Those are deliberative. That's what I have in the top 15, it looks like. And those are about getting things done. We like to get things done, whether it's, you know, checking a box and saying, I got that done. Responsibility says, I'm dependable. I can get this done. I'll take ownership. The hard part then is sometimes it can be, I can micromanage too much, or I don't allow people to grow. And that's been one of those balanced things that I've had to look at as a manager and then as a chief to say, am I getting things done? That's important. Mm-hmm. But are people growing because of it? Or am I just getting things done? Yeah. And getting things done is important, but also equally important is, am I growing the team? Are they feeling empowered? Are they feeling success? Or are they just feel like they're getting beat down by, let's get this done. So those two work kind of opposite, but then the building relationships and influencing work hand in hand, because even though you work day to day, I was meeting with my directors today, and the thought came of, you know what, we meet every Tuesday, we meet for several hours, we go through updates, but we also go through what are issues are we having and how can you help me and I help you and so on and so forth. And sometimes I assume that they know the message. They heard the message, mm-hmm. that I've been cheerleading that message. And then sometimes I think, well, maybe I haven't been doing the wooing enough and I've been more working on, you know, developing and having harmony and in the blue areas, but haven't been the cheerleader on the influencing enough to where they still feel energized. They still feel jazzed about the work that they do and understand its importance with the mission of the whole organization. So sometimes do them well together. I don't always do them well together. Sometimes I was like, okay, tell me where we're at with this project. How come it's not moving along? Or what have we got to do to move it? And I'm not necessarily thinking about the people. But then I walk out and look at the people and think, oh, I have to remember, good morning, and how are you doing, and it's good to see you, and what can I do to help? And
yeah, I think you are kind of leading into the other question I wanted to ask, which is, I feel like everyone in their strengths is going to have to practice a little bit about dialing back with some of the things that they have while they're considering the group that they're with. Mm-hmm. And so have you found that you've had to do that?
Sure. You have to read the room well.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in some meetings where my approach either isn't working well or it's keeping people from commenting. Or I've been in a lot of meetings where I see that and think, okay, I need to take a back seat. I need to shut up for a while. I need to listen more. At least that's what my wife tells me. But but I do need to listen more and let some of that work emerge from other people. Mm-hmm. When you've been in a leadership role for, you know, for a long time, you tend to take over, you know? You tend to say, okay, I'm the leader here. Let's make sure this ball gets rolling. And you sometimes have to sit back and say, you know what, I may be the leader, but I am also a facilitator of communication, of ideas, and they'll come out. I'm definitely not the smartest one. And I found that out a long time ago. I'm not the smartest person. Heavens. That's why I have good people around me. And they have come up with some great ideas. And so I have to make sure that I don't get in their way with either my communication or the desire to have tasks done and how do we get this done. And So yeah, I have to step back. I have to dial back at times, and sometimes that's hard.
Yeah. Well, the second follow-up I was going to ask you is just practicing that, what you've learned from it. But you really just covered the whole thing. So
great. Well,
hey. Yay. I know we've been dialing into and talking about a lot of your strengths and how they look for you. But let's focus in a little bit more on woo. And I think woo is one of interest to me because that's like my second to last. So I'm like, what do I have at the top and what do I have at the bottom? But I also do think that just kind of sharing a little bit, I was super excited about Clifton Strengths work. And I had my fiance take it. I had my mom take it. And, you know, we were just doing a whole strengths family thing. And my mom, her number like 3 is woo. And I'm like, how was I raised by someone who
did
is
it skip
so
a generation?
Opposite, right? So I just want to know a little bit more about your woo and maybe for someone that doesn't really like the spotlight at times.
Woo was probably the strength that I was most surprised by. One, I didn't know it existed, at least in, you know, paper form. That said, hey, you know, you like woo. And so I was surprised by that. But also, I was happy to see that because I've always been, well, I haven't always been. I guess that's where I need to start. When I was a younger child, getting into actually my sophomore year of high school, I was very shy. I know that's going to surprise you. Super shy, reserved. I didn't like being in the spotlight. But then I had glasses from first grade to 10th grade, and then I got contacts my sophomore year. And my mom tells me that's when I made a switch. I flipped 180 degrees there. And woo to me is really, I think, speaks to my passion or speaks to anybody's passion. I think everybody, even the introverts that you meet in the computer department, there's a lot of them, they don't like people, but they really do. And so, but when you get talking to them, you find out what their passion is, and they can go on for hours in great detail and great passion about something that is important to them, about their passion. So we all have it. Not everybody wants to present it or put it out there. It makes them vulnerable, and that scares them. I've been a little more eager to be vulnerable because I think that kind of ties into the communication piece of you have to risk something to get something back. And I think the exchange is worthwhile. Otherwise, people, you know, they're very transactional with a relationship of, what do you need? Here's what I give you. We're good. That's all I'm going to talk to you about. I like to go deeper. And yet to go deeper, you have to put out some more. You have to be willing to be vulnerable. And people don't like that a lot. I've learned to be comfortable, I guess, with it.
With woo. And I think with the influencing themes in general, they're so misunderstood. And I think that that's even my own bias, like looking at them for the first time. I was like, oh, I don't resonate with that domain at all. But I do think that they're misunderstood that we think societally that anyone that's influencing is in it for themselves. And correct. I don't think that that's true.
It can very well be misinterpreted. They say somebody who is a used car salesman is trying to sell you something that maybe is not very good. They're going to oversell and underdeliver. I don't trust them. Are they really saying what they mean? And luckily, luckily for me, I'm one of those people. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. I've met so many other people who would tell me something and then have no intention of doing it. And that's the bad woo. But I think woo, and so for people who mistrust or have had dealings with people that they've mistrusted or have let them down, they see people with woo as, well, can I really trust you? And hopefully, for the most part, I can. So, you know, it's a struggle sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I do want to maybe take a step back a little bit and let's start to think of like the bigger group. So people that are taking the Clifton Strengths now as mm-hmm. we roll it out. What advice or what would you say to someone that they get their strengths report back and they're like, wow, these strengths do not align to my job. What do you do in that moment? Or what would you say to that person?
One thing that I've been taught here, I think Christina has said it, behavioral health providers have said it in other meetings, the key to happiness is flexibility. And I believe that. And yet I've been, you know, when you're dealing with responsibility or restorative strengths, my wife would tell me that I'm not very flexible. And I say, well, I can be flexible if I have enough time. If you give me enough time, I can be very flexible. But I have found the key that the happiness really is flexibility. So when somebody says, well, you know, I have these three, you know, these five things that are my top, and really maybe one or two of them deal with my job, but the other ones don't. How do I use it? But one thing that I gleaned from, I think, the DISC test was it talked about adaptive. And here's your natural strengths, and then here's your adaptive strengths. And it tells you that you can be adaptive. You can say, well, I may not be naturally this way. I can adapt. I can adapt to whatever you need me to do. It may not be my natural strengths, but it's my adaptive strengths. I can do that. Just because I don't, you know, see the strengths right here, I can change that. Not confining yourself to just these strengths and saying, well, I you know, because I look at mine and say, well, I don't have a lot of strategic thinking, so therefore I must not be able to strategically think. And yet you get into meetings and you're like, well, hey, I came up with a good idea. How about that?
Yeah.
And you say, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm able to do that. I may not necessarily lead with that, or that's where I'm comfortable, but I can do that. So not being pigeonholed into these are the only things that you can do, but you can leverage those and be adaptive to whatever you need to do. I mean, I've worked in construction jobs, insulation. I've worked at a call center when I was in high school. You know, the toll-free answering service. I did call-in surveys in college that people hate, you know, during dinner time. And I didn't necessarily like them either, but I had to provide for my family. And so you're like, you know what, I'll do whatever it takes to do that. And I think we can all be successful by leveraging whatever we have for the task that's at hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's worthy to say, too, that you can still have conversations with your supervisor and get creative with how you can maximize using some of those strengths in what you're doing, too. But no, that's great advice. I really think, speaking of this whole flexibility conversation, that we've really, like, outdone Gallup. We're having our own, like, defining what weaknesses is in this conversation. So do you have anything else that you would, that comes to mind when you think about weaknesses?
I used to perceive weakness in, for example, when we first started looking at Gallup, I would be in executive meetings and I'd listen to someone talk and I'd think, I don't think that way. And that bothered me at times because you're like, well, I like people that think like me, but not everybody does. I don't think anybody does, but I found that once we did the Clifton strengths, then I saw their strengths. And I thought, oh, that's why you do that. Because you come from your strengths over here in, you know, critical thinking or listening or contemplating or, you know, whatever that is. Now that makes sense. That's not, I used to see their strengths as irritations of, oh, that's why you do that. And then it gave me a lot of insight to how they think. And I hope in turn of how I think. And so they're not like, well, Larry, why are you doing that to us? I think, so then sharing those strengths with each other, you're like, okay, that paints a nice picture that I understand now.
Yeah.
And so I saw their, what used to be irritations to me now as strengths. And I thought, you know what, I can rely on them for that strength. So then I would go and talk to them and say, well, what do you think about this? Because that's your strength. And I know you've been thinking about this or contemplating this or working on this for a long time. Help me out here with what your thought process is. And so that's helped, one, build those relationships, two, but also see the strengths for what they are and not just irritations or things that bug me, but something that is really valuable to a team.
I do want to ask you a little bit more about, well, two parts to this question. I'm very curious with the idea of motivation. So one, what motivates you? And the second part of this, what do you think helps you to motivate your team because of your strengths? So I guess two parts.
Motivation. Wow. When you asked me to be on this podcast, what motivated me was to say, hey, would you like to talk? And I said, you betcha. Where's a microphone? I will talk as long as you want. Motivation for me has always somewhat been intrinsic a little bit. I was raised on a farm a little bit with my grandpa, and it was about hard work, you know, hard work for good pay, and you felt good about yourself. I liked when I was younger and I'd go work for my grandpa or my mom's cousin, and they'd say, good luck, you know, good work. You did a good job. I appreciate the hard work. And then they paid you. And pay was nice. But it wasn't be all end all. I liked the praise, I guess. Yeah. Honestly, I didn't get a whole lot of that at home. I didn't have parents. My father wasn't a very kind and loving and encouraging kind of guy. And so I looked for outside influences. I did a lot of sports, football and track and other things. And got more recognition, or at least more people would say, hey, you know, I saw you at the game Friday, you know, great tackle or whatever. And so I did like that. And so I was motivated by doing a good job. Yeah. There's something deep in me that wants to do a good job, whatever that job is. I don't like to do sloppy work. I want to look good. Now, the motivating, I don't know if that answered your question on my side, but motivating on others. I remember years ago with my son, I would say, son, you need to eat your vegetables. And he'd say, I don't like vegetables. And I'd say, okay, what motivated me as a child? Okay, if you don't eat your vegetables, no ice cream for dessert. And he goes, yeah, I don't really want any dessert tonight. And I'd say, oh, man, that didn't work. And I'd say, okay, if you don't eat your vegetable, you got to go to bed early. And he'd go, oh, I'm kind of tired anyway. Ah, crap, that didn't work either. And so things that motivated me as a child weren't motivating him. And so then I had a brainstorm, and I said, all right, if you don't eat your vegetables, you owe me a nickel. A nickel? Oh, man. And he'd gag down the broccoli or whatever. That's when I found out money is his motivation. So we use that motivator very well. So in order to motivate others, you have to know what motivates them. And that really gets into the one-on-ones that we've had, talking about, well, what do you think about this? And how do you like this? And what motivates you here? That's all key to how to motivate people. Because if you have somebody who, one, doesn't care, isn't intrinsically thinking, this is what I value, therefore I'm going to give you that. You're like, well, how do I motivate you? Is it just the pay? Is it just, what is it? IT people don't like to be recognized, you know? They say, don't you dare put me in for an award. I don't like that. I don't feel comfortable with that. So then you have to find out what really motivates them. And it all comes through that communication piece.
Yeah. Well, we will have a lot of supervisors that are going to be seeing their strengths reports for the first time.
Good.
So with that being said, what advice would you have for like a supervisor who's like trying to make sense of, oh, shoot, my team is not lining up with how I show up? How do you make sense of that?
I've worked with some people who had some great strengths that were opposite of mine. And I'm more comfortable with, well, I feel comfortable with my strengths, but now you have strengths that are opposite of mine. And at first it was like, okay, how do I deal with this? How do I work with this? But then you quickly find that you leverage their strengths. And you say, you have some strengths that I don't. And so therefore, I'm not going to try and be this. I'm going to let you lead that. And they did very well. And then you also recognize that, okay, maybe your strength isn't the communication piece. So you do that side, and I'll do this side, and you do that piece, and we have a great product. Because we're leveraging the strengths and not trying to say, well, you have to do everything. Or sometimes supervisors feel like they have to do everything, or they have to be the smartest person in the room. And you don't. You don't at all. You just say, I have great people around me. They have great strengths. Let them lead. Let them try. Let them spread their wings. Let them fail in a safe place. And I love the fact that we say, you know what? You can come here. You can work. And if you're trying hard, make some mistakes. And that's okay. We learn from our mistakes, but we do it in a safe place. So, because if you're in a place where if you fail, you get demoted or you get criticized or you get written up, nobody's going to want to make a mistake. No one's going to want to try something new. But if you have a safe place, and so look at your strengths, look at where you're strong. During the one-on-ones that I've done, I've found people have, I'll ask them about, well, what do you want to do in the next 6 months? What new skill? And they've really surprised me. And you're like, well, that's not what I thought you would say. And you're like, okay, well, we didn't know that's what you wanted to do or had a desire for that. Let's find something that we can help you with, or let's let you lead. And other times they say, I have absolutely no desire to lead. Let me do this part. And you say, great. Then you do your part. That's very important. We'll have somebody else be the front end of that. So look at your teams, embrace what they bring, understand where they shine, where you don't think they may shine, and give them an opportunity.
Yeah, I think it starts with a conversation, right? And we don't know until we ask and get curious about it. So I'm going to put your woo maybe a little bit on the spot and say, what's one thing that you want to share with people that are going to be listening to this podcast, to be doing strengths? What's going to win them over to be invested in this strengths journey?
You brought up a great word. You said invested. We use words like engaged. Mm-hmm. I've worked with some of my folks who really weren't all that engaged in the work, and they're like, or engaged in Strength Finders or Gallup. Some have been leery of it. You know, is this just something to inflict us with? And I'm a believer in it, not for the sake of doing it. I'm a believer in it for the results that you can get out of it. So when we started with Q12, I had a lot of people say, are you sure this is going to do anything? Well, the organization has never let us do this in the past. And you say, this is a great opportunity now. The organization is saying, give it a try. You come up with something. And if it works, well, then we'll incorporate it. And they looked at me like, are you sure? I don't believe that. And we did it. We came up with some great ideas in both the IT space as well as some other clinics that I was being an ambassador with. And we said, you did great. Did it work? Yeah, it did. Well, then, and so success builds on itself if we're engaged, if we're trying. Yeah. I've also been on some teams where they're like, well, here we are again for Q12. Anybody have any ideas? No, we didn't have any good ideas. And so, well, you know, we're going to try and be happy this next month. And it was struggling because they were doing Q12 for Q12's sake, and not for the benefit that would have bring to the organization. So I'm a big believer in, let's try it. Let's get outside of our space sometimes. Let's get outside of our... I had one experience with a clinic where they had a goal. And what they were doing, they were focused more on what they were doing than the goal. Because they said, well, what we're doing, it seems to be going down in numbers. And I said, yeah, but what's your goal? Oh, that's right. Our goal was this. And not just the task. And I said, so are you getting closer to your goal, even though your task and numbers are falling? Well, yes, we are, because we're developing or fostering maybe a different type of culture in our clinic. I said, so don't get lost in the task. Always think about the goal. And so I believe in that. I believe in the organization. I believe in the mission that we do. I meet with once a month, I meet with new orientees, new hires, and we talk about strategic plan. We talk about their passion, where they can join in. And so aligning their passions with the work that we're doing, it's a great combination. If it's just showing up to work and putting your time in and keeping your head down, then it's just a job and it's just drudgery sometimes. But if you can't tell, I'm passionate, and sometimes that's that woo, you know? And so getting people to understand and align their passion with the work, it brings about great results.
Yeah, I believe so too. And well, you wooed me over. I believe it. Well, I mean, it sounds good to me. And I do also think there is a personal investment, like just knowing your strengths at base level. If you know what you're good at and maybe what you're less good at, that's a valuable insight for someone that is not even thinking 10 steps ahead. But there is the potential that when every single person starts thinking in that way, the big impact that has.
I only wish they would do that more on American Idol.
Yeah.
Because you get people there who think they can sing.
Yeah.
And they really can't. Bless their hearts. you say, "Are you? Your grandma says you can sing, but maybe you ought to rethink your career choices."
Well, I thought of one last question to ask you as we wrap this up. Like I said, when we started this interview, you have been with Valleywide for quite some time. You've seen a lot of growth and change and all of that good stuff. So I just wanted to get your perspectives on how we've evolved and how that's kind of aligned to where we are now with this strengths mindset and all the directions that we keep kind of going with this employee engagement stuff. It's a big question.
It's a big question. The things that I've seen over the past 23 years, we've had some struggles. We had some great leadership who got us through some hard times. I think since then, with Jana coming in and stressing the strategic plan, we used to have strategic plans. We had strategic planning meetings. We'd get together and talk for several weeks and then say, "Hey, that's a great plan." And then we'd say, "All right, everybody back to work." And we never talked about it ever again. And so Jana coming in and saying, "You know, what's the point of having a strategic plan if you don't do anything with it? You don't talk about it, if you don't work on it." And that's why I think strengths are sometimes is just a reflection of our personalities. But allowing us to work and use our personalities and to allow, you know, all employees to be a part of something bigger, not just to come to work, do your work, go home, and we'll tell you what to do. We want them to bring their passion and say, "You know what? I'm engaged. I may not be happy about a certain process, but I want change. I want it to get better." And seeing the connection of how we can actually do that together. I think that's leaps and bounds of where we were 23 years ago. And so I'm very optimistic about our future. I think we've got some great people. The other thing I've seen is people who started out at entry-level positions rise up and move up in the organization. Because one, they had a drive. Two, they had a desire. Three, they were smart. And not all smart people, you know, rise to high levels because I'm here. So I'm testament of that. Even dumb people can succeed. But it's that environment. If we didn't allow them to grow and grow within, then they wouldn't move up. So I love that about the organization, that we're willing to let people grow, let people flourish, let people bloom. I had an employee years ago who was in another department. And they were looking to make a change. And we asked their director, and they said, "I don't think that person's all that fit for this work. They're not that good. What I had them do, it was subpar." We're like, "Really? Huh?" We brought that person over into our group, and they blossomed. It was phenomenal what they could do if given the chance and aligning their strengths with the work that they did. So I think that happens day in and day out here. And hopefully it happens more as we have managers look at, understand the strengths of their groups and then allow them to blossom.
Yeah. I mean, look, for example, like my story, I think about like when you were talking about that and I started here 2 years ago, did I think on my first day of orientation that I would be doing a podcast? Absolutely not. But I thankfully have been in a place where everyone has been so open and accepting and say, "Let's try it. If it works, it works." And
now I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Okay.
All right. So put you on the spot now.
Okay.
Sometimes the difference, when we come into an organization, we want people to give us guidance and what we should be doing. And we want to, in a sense, play it safe. But you didn't do that, did you?
No,
you didn't play it safe. You said, "Well, here's my job, and maybe we didn't have that function before, and so I don't have past history to lean on to say, well, I'm coming into a position that's already been here." You say, "This is a brand new position, and what can I do?" And every time I go look, like in workforce development, I think, where did this all come from? Holy cow. What's Sylvia been doing? And then I watch the videos and think, okay, I need to do this and pay calm. Wow, this is very in-depth and this is very detailed. And I've gone back to it several times and I thought, what a great resource. Now, I've talked to your boss and she's told me frankly, she's going, did I tell Sylvia to do that? No, I didn't. You did. You saw a need. You filled in. Now you took a chance. Because you're like, well, you know, maybe people don't like podcasts. Maybe people don't like videos. Maybe people don't like these things on SharePoint. But you took a chance. Right. And you're doing some great things that nobody told you to do. So that's another plug for if you want to get somewhere in this organization or any organization, step into it. Do something. Something. Go beyond what you're being told to do. Give the extra. And I think your manager, your boss, or whoever is going to be surprised by what you are giving them as opposed to just the bare minimum.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is just a great conversation place for anyone to listen into it. So thank you so much for being a part of it.
You're welcome. Now, I do have to give you a dad joke.
Okay.
There's one last dad joke. So three golf clubs walk into a bar. The first one orders a drink. The second one orders a drink. And then the bartender looks at the last one and says, what about you? And he says, no, thanks. I'm the driver.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm Bob.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Okay, this concludes Larry's episode, but let today's insights just sit with you for a while. What resonated with you? How has hearing other voices on this podcast helped you to understand your own strengths better? I'd love to hear your thoughts, so send me a message on Teams or a quick email if you wanted to share your insights. And again, thank you so much for being here and listening in on The Spark.